Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome to the program. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, the disappearance of Sanaya Dennis. Many people in the community, obviously, very concerned about this young lady, and had a chance to look something up during the break. Law enforcement actually can get your medical information without a warrant. This is from the ACLU webpage. HIPAA rules provide a wide variety of circumstances under which medical info can be disclosed for law enforcement-related purposes without explicitly requiring a warrant. These circumstances include law enforcement requests for information to identify or locate a suspect, fugitive, witness, or missing person. Two, instances where there has been a crime committed on the premises of the covered entity. And three, in a medical emergency in connection with a crime. So if what the ACLU has put up on his website is correct, if there is a medical issue and the only information about that was in a Buff State flyer, I'm sure police already know that. And everything, look, everything I have said, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said, I mean, look, I wanted to take the CSI class at ECC before COVID. Because I am fascinated by how crimes are solved. I'm fascinated by the technology that is used today to solve crimes, how detectives use today's technology to solve crimes, the importance of cell phone pings, the importance of surveillance tapes. There is, what's it called? Crime 360. Which is fascinating. There are shows devoted completely to how crimes have been solved using surveillance tape. I kid you not. But you know, one of the things, again, I'm not saying anything. Look, one thing I'm not trying to do, because it would be just so wrong in so many ways. I'm not trying to play expert, and I'm being very upfront that I watch a lot of these shows. They're not fiction shows. They are true shows. And along the way, you watch enough of them, you understand the kind of steps that detectives always go through when they're trying to find a missing person or they're trying to solve a crime. And here's the thing. Even sometimes you can have a reasonably decent surveillance image and you can still not have an arrest. Did they ever arrest the people responsible for killing the parents from Florida, and the little boy was found curled up in a box on a porch? I don't think they made an arrest in that, and that surprised me. But that does happen sometimes. Unfortunately, one of the commonalities I've noted in the programs I've watched is unless there is a compelling reason to believe that a crime has been committed, such as finding a suspected victim's car along the road abandoned. And I've seen that. Usually the missing person reporter is usually stymied and frustrated and very pissed off at the police for not taking their stories seriously at first. And, you know, the first response in a lot of cases, which is frustrating to families, is, well, sometimes people choose to go missing. And, you know, we've got to wait X number of hours unless there is compelling information that a crime has been committed. And I've yet to see a family find that acceptable. I don't care if they're black, white, Asian, doesn't matter. It's just people get upset when it's their loved one involved. And I totally understand that. Absolutely, positively. But, you know, they're unfortunately, you know, the hardest part about this, I think, for the family is the not knowing what has become of their beloved little girl. And unfortunately, missing people are not always found. You know, in our generation or reasonably close to our generation, Jimmy Hoffa, you know, people have talked about Jimmy Hoffa and what happened to him. Nobody knows exactly what happened to Jimmy Hoffa. There's a million stories out there from wise guys about what happened to Jimmy Hoffa. Nobody knows the absolute truth. Michael Francaise says, look, I know what happened. All I can tell you is he's never going to be found. Okay? Believe him, not believe him, it doesn't matter. You know, back in your grandparents' generation or great-grandparents' generation, the catchphrase was, where's Judge Crater? There was a judge in New York that disappeared after taking out a hefty amount of money. Judge Crater, never found him. Have no idea what happened to him. There have been celebrities over the years who've gone missing. Nobody knows what happened to them. Locally, I mentioned the case of Russell Mort, which was, you know, almost, we're coming up on the anniversary tomorrow, May 5th of 1982. Russell Mort went missing. No body was ever found. Nobody knows what happened to him. Was he kidnapped and murdered and the remains hidden somewhere? Did he wander into the river? Nobody knows, and probably nobody ever will know. There have been other missing people. Leisha Riley is another name from back in the 1980s. She was last seen alive at a nightclub and was never seen again. Nobody knows officially what happened to Leisha Riley, and they certainly don't know where her remains, if any, may be found. You know, just thinking about medical issues, you know, where I'm broadcasting from right here, this story goes back to the 1990s, but it's a true story. There was a young lady who was missing for many, many years. And one day, right around the block, a guy was out walking his dog, and the dog came back with a human bone. So that area then became a crime scene. And after a period of time, it was determined that the missing bone belonged to this girl who had been missing for many, many years, who had a medical condition. And apparently what happened, apparently, is she blacked out or had a seizure in the woods and succumbed. There have been cases, and I've covered these as well, of cars that have been pulled out of Ellicott Creek. Ellicott Creek. Nobody saw the car go in Ellicott Creek. Nobody heard the car go into Ellicott Creek, but the car went into Ellicott Creek, and they pull it out, and they find remains, human remains. That's happened. And it's sad, but in some respects, at least it offers some explanation. I don't think you ever get closure in a situation like this, but at least you have the truth. At least you have an explanation. Okay, what probably happened, it was icy that night, it was snowy that night, the car might have been going too fast, went into the creek. Okay, the remains have been found. At least we know what happened, but you're still never going to fully get over it. I mean, how do you, as a parent or the close loved one of somebody in a situation like that? But as I said earlier, I am 1,000,000% confident that the investigators who are going through all of the information in this case, I'm 100% convinced that everything that I have mentioned, believe me, they're professionals. They've already thought of it. They're already on it. And that is what, I mean, unfortunately, it adds to my frustration because, like everybody else, I want to know if this young lady is okay. I would, and if somebody is to blame for her not being okay, I would like to know that too, and have, if not closure, at least justice done for Sunia Dennis. And, you know, one of the things, again, or some of the things the police, and I can virtually guarantee you that they know the answers to this, but I'm never going to get the answers on the record until such time as they're ready to talk. But, you know, they know what is on the NFTA surveillance video from the bus depot. All right, they know. They know if there is surveillance tape showing Sanaya on any bus. They'll know if she was in the company of anybody. They may know if Goat Island surveillance caught her and anybody she might have been with walking onto Goat Island, presuming she took that one bridge that we all take when we go onto Goat Island from mainland Niagara Falls. You can bet another thing they've done already, they have pinged, you know, the cell phone. They know exactly where the cell phone was at any time from the moment she disappeared until the last ping at Goat Island early in the morning on Sunday. Now, they will also know who was in contact with Sanaya. They will know what was sent to her. They will know what was what she had sent out. You can bet that they've already gone through email. They probably have already, let's see, has enough time gone by? Yeah, enough time has gone by. They probably have been through any email communications of any questionable nature. Certainly any threats that came to Sanaya electronically have already been investigated. I have to believe they've already been investigated. And what they would do in a situation like that presumably is, you know, they would track down whoever sent those threats, and they would interview that person, determine whether or not the person had an alibi for the time Sanaya was missing, if they believed that that might at all be a factor in this disappearance. Again, as far as the medical issue, Buff State, they are the only people who said anything about a medical issue. And according to the ACLU website, the police do have the ability to get whatever medical records Buff State had on Sanaya Dennis. They'll also be looking at phone records. Who was she, to whom was she speaking? To whom was she texting? What was said in the text? What were the duration of the phone calls and to what numbers? Were they local numbers? Were they long-distance numbers? If they were long-distance numbers, were the phones pinging in Western New York? I mean, there are so many things that they have to review. And look, they know this. I mean, they know this because this is just how they do it. And again, not an expert, not trying to play an expert, but I am telling you, I've watched, and I think we have a lot of people who do the same thing. I've watched enough of these shows to have a pretty good idea of what is likely going on behind the scenes. And that being said, it frustrates the heck out of me that we don't have any definitive answers. All we know is, hey, she was on video at the bus depot, and the last ping was from Goat Island at such and such time. That's all we know. That's all that has been released. And again, I hate to sound like a broken record. They're being tight-lipped because this is an open investigation. They may have a good idea what they are probably dealing with at this point, but they're not ready to tell us whether or not they think there's a high likelihood she met with foul play or whether they believe this was something that was self-induced. I have no way of knowing. I have no idea. But clearly, I mean, am I missing anything? Because, you know, so many of you in the community have graciously reached out to this family, which is going through absolute hell. It's one of the common themes you will note. It's human nature, and in cases like these, when someone is missing, it's beyond words the feeling of hopelessness and not knowing what happened to the missing member of your family, especially a child. It will just rip somebody apart inside out, literally. It's a terrible, terrible, awful thing to go through. And that's why, you know, in cases where somebody is known to be a homicide victim. Let's say they find, you know, DNA in a suspect's home, and there is ample reason to proceed with an arrest. A lot of times, because the family wants to know, a lot of times in death penalty states, they take the death penalty off the table as long as the suspect leads them to the remains that can be identified. I mean, that's how important it is to families to figure out what happened to their loved one. They're willing to forgo the death penalty vengeance in order to give their loved one a decent and proper burial according to their customs, traditions, and religious beliefs and everything else. But we obviously are going to be eagerly following the case of Sanaya Dennis, hoping for a happy conclusion. But, you know, again, I will rest assured that everything that I've mentioned and then some has already been done by the people who do this for a living, the people who do this full time, the people who've done this all their lives. I mean, you've got people who've been doing this 15, 20 or more years, and they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly the protocol to follow when looking for a missing person. You know, they know how to do the cell phone stuff. They have access to experts who can analyze cell phone data. And especially with the FBI being involved, they have so many technological capabilities that anything that is technologically in question is going to be readily cracked by the people at the FBI. I mean, they've got specialists, and all they do is deal with cell phones. They've got specialists, all they do is deal with laptops. And they can extract any bit of information, even the stuff that the owner thought was deleted from a laptop. So they can work wonders. And there are a number of investigative agencies involved in this. The last word I had was that the Buff State Campus Police, they were the lead agency in this matter. But there are many, many, many agencies involved in the search for Sanaya Dennis, and a lot of community people who have volunteered to help the family. And, you know, again, I mean, look, I'm thinking, unfortunately, living here most of my life, unfortunately, I know what a lot of people choose to do at Niagara Falls. Now, is that what happened in this case? Is this an attempt by somebody to throw off investigators in terms of what really happened? Don't know. Don't know. There are so many don't knows in this situation that hopefully are going to be resolved. And I hope at some point that the police are going to believe that it is in the investigation's best interest to release the information that I have talked about over the past 90 minutes or so to the public, if it can be of any use in bringing this situation to a conclusion. I hope so, for the sake of the family, that this is satisfactorily resolved. We all know what the best outcome would be. She's safe and sound. And the worst outcome, either by her own means or by some act of violence against her, she's no longer with us. And I certainly hope and pray that that is not the case. But again, you know, deepest thoughts to the family. On social media, by the way, there are all kinds of ways for you to reach out to the family. And if you have any information whatsoever in terms of Sanaya Dennis, please avail yourself of social media if you have any information. And if you have any surveillance video from the time in question that she disappeared, that maybe you saw something, make sure you call the police and turn over a copy of the surveillance video to them. Because, you know, again, every little bit helps, but because there's a lot of little bits to string together, it's also very difficult to go through hundreds of hours of tape. And as I said, that's where the cell phone tracking will come in handy. It gives them a better timeline to narrow down what time they need to check the videos. It is 3:26 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and that is, of course, presuming the time stamped on the video is the correct time. So I've seen it happen where police think, wait a minute, our person should be here now. Then they'll go back and they'll figure out, oh, they forgot to change the time on their security system. That happens, and it can be a real frustrating experience for law enforcement. They think they're hot on a case, and then they got to backtrack. All right. Let me get on to something else that I want to get into, and it's I don't think I've actually ever done this show. COVID. No, I don't think I've ever done this show at all. Alcoholism. I've mentioned a few times that during the coronavirus, I'm told, I don't know who tracks this stuff, but I'm told that the sales in liquor stores have gone up by 33%. Somebody once told me, if you want a great business, get into a liquor store, because when times are bad, people want to drink to forget. When times are good, people want to drink to celebrate. So it's a no-lose proposition. Get into the liquor business. Now, recently, and this goes back, but it's gained more traction in recent times thanks to TV coverage. But one of the Buffalo Bills has come out and said that he had a problem with alcohol and quit drinking. Went to a couple of AA meetings, quit drinking. He talks about a guy he met who also was going through alcoholism and who is in rehab, you know, going on, 29, 30 days, whatever it's been since the time the story was on. But I'm kind of curious if you personally, I mean, we've done shows on opioids. We've done shows on illegal street drugs. But I don't think I've ever done a show on you guys and alcoholism. I don't think I've ever touched on that. And alcohol, of course, is the gateway drug. I think we're all aware of that, although it could be milk. But anyway, especially with COVID over the past year, not that I want to turn this into another COVID show necessarily, but, you know, I've seen this in my own life. A lot more people. We do have a winner, by the way. We do have a qualified contestant for those Genesis tickets, so no need to continue calling on that. But have you had to dig yourself out of the pit of alcoholism? And exactly how did you do it? How did you get out of the pit? At what point did you recognize that you needed to, not drink anymore? Was there a moment where you realized, you know, was there a lost weekend, a moment you realized, you know what, I've got a problem? I mean, if friends start telling you you've got a problem, if family members start telling you you've got a problem, if coworkers start telling you you got a problem, the common denominator in all of those scenarios is what? The common denominator is you. So if enough people express concern over your drinking, you really need to pay some heed to those individuals. Oh, absolutely you do. The phone number, I want to know your, do we have anybody listening? Anybody listening who has had to deal with alcoholism, either for yourself or in a loved one? And with COVID, I got to tell you, there is more day drinking going on than ever before. 33% increase in liquor sales, I am told. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And again, no need to call the contest line anymore. Don't even bother answering it. No need to call. We are all set. We don't need anybody. We have our person. Sorry you missed out this time, but you'll have opportunities in the future here on WBEN. So we are asking you guys the question in light of a Buffalo Bill coming out and talking about his struggles with alcohol, how you realized that you had an issue, or how you realized that somebody you cared about had an issue, and what you did. And furthermore, let's take this a step further. I would think, and I don't know this, but I would think that one of the hardest conversations you have to have with somebody you love is, honey, I think you may be an alcoholic. Honey, I think you drink too much. Because what is the first reaction when somebody says something like that to you? What's the first reaction is, I don't have no stinking problem with booze. None whatsoever. Go away, evil person. You can't help me. I don't need help. I guess that would be the logical first reaction because, and a lot of times, I guess it would vary by the individual, but a lot of times the person who has the issue is the last person to realize they've got the issue, and the people around him or her see the issue a long time before they do. And, I think about all the shows we've done about the other stuff that is out there, and in light of Mr. Poyer's admission about getting off of booze, You know, did you do it cold turkey? Did you wean off gradually? Did you come to the decision on your own? Did a kid or a spouse say, hey, honey, dad, mom, you've got a serious issue with booze? And I would have to think, especially over the past year of COVID, that this is a more prevalent situation than it was prior to COVID. Because, you know, what do we hear about all the time? People who are anxious, people who are depressed, people who are looking to escape the everyday of COVID, and people who miss their old lives, their normal lives. And one way to escape that is legal in New York State is booze. And even during the peak of the pandemic, I mean, this says something, and what it says, I'm not sure. Even at the peak of the pandemic, liquor stores were considered essential businesses. Let me say that again. Liquor stores were considered essential businesses. And the reason we were given is if they closed down the liquor store, a lot of people would go through horrible alcohol withdrawal. That's why liquor stores became essential businesses. So you can tell what's important to politicians. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I've only been drunk a couple of times in my life, and the most embarrassing time, the most embarrassing time was at New Year's Eve, within a few weeks after my heart surgery. And I've told you guys this before. I drank what I usually drank, but nobody told me I was anemic. So the usual amount of booze totally knocked me on my butt. I mean, big time knocked me on my butt. I was so embarrassed. It was horrible. I mean, it was just like, you've got to be kidding me. But, you know, live and learn. I tend not to drink to excess. I don't like the feeling of being drunk. I like to drink socially. I like to drink around friends. And it's, you know, I've gone through stretches where I've gone out and all I've had is club soda or a diet beverage or something like that. But, you know, I mean, for me, there's something, I don't know, takes the edge off the tough ones, if you will. You know, a glass of whatever spirit that I happen to like. Surprisingly, despite the Germanic Teutonic last name, I don't do beer. I can't even tell you the last time I've had a beer. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, people think beer, beer, beer. And I know we get a lot of people, beer, beer, beer. But, you know, I'm more about, you know, fine blended whiskeys or whatever you would call them. Spirits, if you will. Never saw a spirit after drinking a spirit, but that's life. Here's Jim in Amherst. Jim, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I have noticed that alcohol consumption went up a lot a year ago when this was going hot and heavy.
And what put you in a position to notice that?
Just self-awareness.
Are you talking about yourself, your own liquor consumption?
Yes, for myself.
So where are we at now, Jim?
Trying hard to get it under control and making progress.
Did somebody tell you that you needed to get it under control?
No, but that has happened to me like 10 years ago. People were saying, how's your drinking? How's your drinking?
Ah,
there was a time in 2009 I did go to rehab and went to a place in Michigan that was run by a bunch of misfits. It was not a nice place.
I'm sorry to hear that. Without naming the place, of course, because I don't feel like being on the phone with attorneys any more than I absolutely have to. All right, now having been through rehab, was the goal of the rehab to basically convince you that you could never have another drink again, that you could not be trusted with alcohol because you'd relapse?
No, not really. It was just to bring some self-awareness as to what was going on with me.
Did you have any DUIs?
No, none.
All right, because, I mean, sometimes that is somebody's first rude awakening that, holy crap, I've got a problem.
Right.
So as far as the peak, what was the peak of your drinking during COVID? About how long ago was that?
Probably pretty early on. It was probably middle of April last year.
You mind if I ask you what you were drinking?
Beer, wine.
beer, wine, like a six pack a day, 2 6-packs a day?
I do the 24 ounces. So you do three of those, or three or four of those.
And what I mean, you're in the process, you said, of trying to cut down. And I know it's one thing to try, it's another thing to do. Where are you right now?
3 days sober right now.
Did you dump all your booze down the sink?
No.
All right. Is there a reason why you didn't do that?
I keep zero at home. If I want to consume, I go out and get it, and I consume it that night.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, would you say you're kind of a binge drinker too?
Yes.
You know, did you ever think about maybe AA or anything like that?
I've done that, and I had a bad experience in 2017 with AA.
How about private therapy or private counseling?
I've tried that too.
Didn't work.
Not really.
It's a very powerful craving. Jim, and hold on. I mean, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a counselor, but hold on if you would. Obviously, a very famous football player who plays in Buffalo admitted struggles with alcohol, and I'm curious if you guys have been in that position yourself, or a loved one has been in that position, and how you dug yourself out of the hole. I mean, was it a group? Was it just an individual realization? How did you do it? We've done a lot of shows on other drugs. Don't know that I've ever done one on booze, at least not in this decade. All right, talking about alcohol, obviously a Buffalo Bill has made news by saying, hey, I quit drinking. You know, I had a problem. I was drinking too much. I stopped drinking. And, you know, drinking is such a part of our culture. And it always, you know, it always has been a part of our culture. Even during Prohibition, it was part of our culture. Let's go. We got to make sure Alan's potted down, I believe. I thought I heard a scanner, but just to double check. Let's go back to Jim in Amherst. So the progress report is you only drink when you go out to buy booze. Is there anything that you say to yourself before you consciously get in your car and drive to the store to buy the beer or buy the wine?
No. No.
Do you feel like it's out of your control?
No, but I have felt like that in the past.
Do you think, and this is a hard one, but do you think that you could go the rest of your life without drinking?
With a lot of effort, yes.
Do you believe, I mean, again, going through what you've gone through, including the rehab, do you believe that you could ever be somebody who could actually have one or two drinks and that's it in a social situation?
I have felt like that in the past and have tried that, but it always spirals out of control.
Well, I'm not an expert, but it sounds like maybe for you the total abstinence might not be a bad approach. You said it would take a lot of effort to do that. I mean, I'm presuming that when you go and you buy the stuff, you bring it home and you drink it?
Yes.
So you're drinking alone?
Correct.
Yeah, see that, you know, obviously, I'm sure everybody listening who's been in this situation, you know, that's, and I think you recognize it too, you know, that's problematic when you're drinking alone. Usually drinking, you know, healthy drinking generally, but not always, is done in a social setting. And it's usually, you know, one or two, maybe three, depending on how long you're going to be out. But, you know, if you're going to the store, you're coming home and you're drinking everything and catching a buzz, probably something you might want to stay away from.
That's correct. I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, some people there are some things that some people need to stay away from, and it sounds like booze is yours. I mean, with me, it's mint chocolate chip ice cream.
These are all issues that come out at AA meetings for those people who are listening in, and that they talk about these things. If you're drinking to catch a buzz or to help you sleep, that is an abuse. You should be drinking one, two, or three in a social setting, and if that's all you do, then that's fine. You do that maybe once a week, once every 10 days. That's acceptable behavior.
Yeah. Well, again, I think a lot of it has to do with how reliant you are on alcohol. I mean, there are people I know who drink pretty much every single night, but they're drinking a couple, and they keep that in check, and it's not like they, you know, are going home and wolfing down, you know, half a bottle of whiskey.
Right.
But I think a lot of it depends on the individual. Jim, I want to thank you for being the first caller on this and opening up. I wish you the very best. And, you know, look, I'm not an expert. I'm not a therapist. But I really think that that's something that you might just best avoid altogether if you can.
Okay, very good.
Because the alternative sucks. I mean, think about your liver. Think about the calories.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right. Anybody struggles with alcohol? We've done a lot of the different drugs. Don't remember doing alcohol. And I don't believe that's anything like a blackout. I just don't think I've ever done it, at least not in the memorable past.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.